morning, everybody. Our first reading is from the letter from James, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. My brothers and sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. O tonu tāna kupu ki a tātou. At our Te Rongapai Tapu, the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, beginning at the 24th verse. Praise and glory to God, te whaka moi miti, te karoria ki te atua. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all that they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua. Hear what this is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the word. Whakamoe matitia ea te kupu mana.
Good morning. Kia ora e hui hui mai nei, e mihi ana ki Ngāti Toa, Te Ati Awa, Ngāti Raukawa, he tangata tiriti aho, ko Miriam Toku Ingoa. It's so great to be sharing with you this morning. Have you missed me? Some of you probably don't even know who I am. It's been so long since I was up here. This is actually the first time that I've spoken all year, which is crazy, I know. But I have the best reason ever why I haven't been up here. So how many of you are on the prayer chain? Some of you? Okay. So cast your mind back to January, a little way away, and you might remember praying for a person called Tully who had received a kidney transplant. Does anybody remember that specific prayer request? Oh, nice, good. Well, that came from me, for my wonderful friend who I also have the privilege of working with at Praxis. Ian, could you pop that photo up? So this is Tully and me. And Tully had been living with end-stage kidney failure for 5 years, and he had dialysis 3 times a week, 5 hours a day. And in January, he received a kidney, which is just incredible. And you all prayed for him, which is amazing. And at that time, the roster was going out, and I did some extra work because he was recovering, and so I thought, I won't put my name down on the roster because I didn't know how long it would take him to recover, and his recovery was the most important thing. So I thought, I'll, you know, limit my time and try, and so I didn't put my name on the roster. So that's why I wasn't here when the first roster came out. And then the second roster came out, I just forgot. And so I messaged Mark, and I was like, oh, just squeeze me in. And so he did, which was very kind, and that's why I'm here today. So, that's my story. There's more to this morning, it's not just that. But one of my students at Praxis, when we do quite a lot of sharing at my work, we train youth workers, and one of my students, whenever hits his time to share, he always says, making it snappy keeps Jesus happy. So I'm just letting you know that my sermon today is not going to be long. It's going to be snappy because it's a beautiful day, and I want you guys to go enjoy your day. In our house, we have this thing that our kids do. So if you just want to pop that photo up with the kids, just it's always nice that you know who I am and who my children are. They're not Octavius Hadfield and Weeparata, and it's not Tully, it's the next one. So this is my family. Well, these are my children, and that's us when we were in Queenstown. And we have this thing that we do where we always try, well, they do, where they always try and decide who the favourite child is. And so they're like, oh, who's mum's favourite? And if it's Tama's favourite, what do they all say? You're down the back. What do you say? Lydia, yeah. Everybody always thinks that Lydia is Tama's favourite. And then it goes to the grandparents, and Malachi's convinced that he is Nana and Pop's favourite. And then the next level down is the siblings. And everyone wants to be Elijah's favourite because he's very selective about who he will show his love and attention to. So everyone always wants him to pick them. I don't actually think he has any favourites at all. I think he's kind of like a cat that everyone wants them to sit on their lap, but the cat just isn't interested and does his own thing. But this morning we've heard this reading in James that starts off by saying, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. So we've got this story, this letter, really, and it's written to the believers, and it's a message to those of us who have chosen Jesus to walk in his ways, to live like him. And I think this message is pretty clear. Suppose a man or a woman comes into your meeting wearing gold ring and fine clothes, and then a poor, filthy person in old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the person wearing fine clothes and say, oh, look, come here, have a good seat right up the front, but you say to the poor man, I'll just go over there, sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Love your neighbour as yourself. So we've heard this before, but what does love your neighbour as yourself actually mean? So I just want you to turn to the person next to you and give an example of how someone has loved and looked after you this week, or how you might have loved or looked after somebody else this week. So you've just got a couple of minutes. It'll be... Okay. Remember my words, short and snappy, makes Jesus happy. Pulling you back in. When we come to the table, this communion table, Jesus invites everyone. And there's no discrimination. The richest person doesn't get the most comfortable seat or the biggest plate of food. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Ngā Tiawa and they were doing a fundraiser. Courtney's girls are going to China for kapa haka, and they had a sourdough evening. Is Goldie here? Where's Goldie? Yeah, are you still going on your sourdough? Goldie and I were both there. And so we got a bug, we made sourdough, and I've just become the best bread maker ever. And I'm getting up early, and I'm making bread for anybody who doesn't even want it, and I'm just like, I require a lot of feedback, I need to know how good the bread is and how amazing it is, but food brings people together. You know, food crosses boundaries, it shows manaakitanga. It's a physical way that we can show love and we can be generous and we can be open. There's nothing quite like a delicious meal with good friends and family. And a meal or food is really familiar territory for Jesus as well. It's really important to Jesus. He's kind of famous for it. In Luke 9, there's the story of him feeding 5,000 people with just a few loaves, perhaps not as good as my sourdough, but you know, and fishes. And then again in Mark, he feeds 4,000 people. And then we read about Levi, the tax collector. The problem with tax collectors is they worked for the Romans, and the people of this time were under Roman occupation. And these tax collectors went around and they got money. They got huge amounts of money, and they often pocketed some for themselves, and the whole thing was a very kind of oppressive regime. And Levi was one of these tax collectors, a kind of despised man, I guess, and he was having this big banquet. And Jesus was one of his friends, and he was at his house with him, eating and drinking. Then later on in Luke, we hear about Jesus having dinner with a Pharisee. And the Pharisees have been described in kind of a variety of ways, but they were this group, sort of like a political group, who were threatened by society, and they created this system of laws and commands. But they were corrupt, and they often hypocritical, and they didn't necessarily stick to the rules themselves. And here's Jesus sharing a meal with a Pharisee. But then this account gets even more radical because a woman who was a prostitute came and she joined them at their meal. And then Jesus spends time with her and he talks to her and he shows her love and he shows her grace. And then we get to the Lord's Supper. And this is this meal of hope and of promise and of love and of grace and of forgiveness. And this is Jesus spending his final night with his best friends, eating and drinking and sharing and looking after each other. And then when he's raised back to life, there's only a few stories told in the Bible, but one that I really love is Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, cooking fresh fish for his friends for breakfast. Jesus offers this welcoming table and he instructs his followers in the kind of nature of hospitality. And these words, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Love your neighbor as yourself. I think James invites us to reflect on what it means to love our neighbors, especially those of lower economic class or situation from us. But I also believe for myself that James's challenge goes a bit of a step further for me, and I feel kind of invited, maybe uncomfortably so, to examine and kind of look and dissect the way that I treat all classes of people with less social power than myself. And maybe something might resonate with you this morning. So how do I treat refugees? How do I treat immigrants? How do I treat people from the LGBTQI plus community? How do I treat children? How do I treat the elderly? How do I treat people with a different skin colour to my own? I guess here, while in our reading this morning, James is talking about the way that we might show favoritism to those who don't have as much money as others, I think throughout Jesus' teaching, he's constantly asking us, often commanding us, those of us who are believers, to love those less fortunate than ourselves in all areas. He's asking us to love and look after the lost and the broken, and the hungry, and the poor. And this revolution of Jesus is a revolution of love. And our command is to love our neighbour as ourselves. And this table is for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Miriam. Just thinking about those words that Miriam's just shared with us, and we don't often pray publicly for the world and for the people around us, but we should. And we're going to again this morning, and we're going to do it a little bit more often. Because there's something really powerful about when the people of God get together and pray, obviously. God hears us. And in the spirit of what Miriam's been sharing, I just wondered if we could this morning bring to the Lord some people that are in really hard circumstances and who, you know, we might not otherwise think of, or we might, I don't know. But there's two things, one local and one abroad, as it were, one international. And the local one is, many of us will know that, would have heard about the death of this child, who was 15, was it? Yeah, at Paraparaumu College, who had just moved to Australia and with his family. And in fact, the funeral I hear is happening this morning at Whakarongotai Marae, our marae here. And so probably after the service, at some point, they'll be coming up into the Urupa here because he was a Parata. And so I think it would be really, 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 really good to pray for them. It's been a huge thing in the community, as you expect. And Miriam herself's been dealing with, you know, with a lot of the sort of hurt and pain and tragedy and everything around that at Paraparaumu School, where she... college where she works. So we'll pray for that. And the other thing is something awkward in some ways now. It's become awkward, I think, for a lot of people in, you know, in our culture, in our society and stuff, which is the war in Gaza and the tragedy, the deep tragedy that is going on there. And it's become one of those things, unfortunately, where people have begun to take sides in recent months. And it's like either you're on this side or you're on that side. And they forget the angel of God who stood in front of, was it Joshua, I think, and yeah, and said, you know, and Joshua says to him, this great Israelite leader, are you on our side or the, you know, whose side are you on? And he says, I'm not on your side. I'm not on anyone's side. I'm on God's side. God doesn't take sides. There's just God's side. So before we get jumping into which side should we be on, I think we should be asking, who's the Lord for? In the reading we've just heard, Who's the Lord generous towards? Well, everybody, actually. So is it right if we just pray for those two things? I'll just say one prayer for the... what was it? I'll say one prayer for Cooper and his family, and then we'll say some prayers for the Holy Land as well. Sorry, and I don't mean to say that we should be taking... You get what I'm saying. It's not like this side or that side or anything. I'm not going to be taking sides. So for Cooper and his family, Lord, we pray now for all those who mourn. Father, we pray for parents, for children, for friends, school colleagues, neighbours, for people in our community who are affected by his death. Jesus, be gentle with them in their grief. Show them the depths of your love, a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Spare them the torment of guilt and despair. Comfort them by your Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Surround them and fill them with love, with comfort, and with peace. Be with them as they weep beside the empty tomb of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then a prayer for the people of the Holy Land. And when I say, Lord, have mercy, if everyone can just repeat, Lord, have mercy. So God of compassion and justice, we cry out to you for all who suffer in the Holy Land today, for your precious children, Israelis and Palestinians, traumatized and in fear for their lives. Lord, have mercy. For the families of the bereaved, for those who have seen images they will never forget, for those anxiously waiting for news, despairing with each passing day. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Yes, that's a good idea, and we will when we get to the end. For young men and women heading into combat, bearing the burden of what others have done and what they will be asked to do. Lord, have mercy. For civilians in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank, that they would be protected and that every life would count and be cherished and remembered. Lord, have mercy. For the wounded and those facing a lifetime of scars, for those desperately seeking medical treatment where there is none, Lord, have mercy. For medical and emergency personnel risking their own lives to save those of others, Lord, have mercy. For those who cannot see anything but rage and violence, that you would surprise them with mercy and turn their hearts towards kindness for their fellow human beings. Lord, have mercy. For people of peace whose imagination is large enough to conceive of a different way, that they may speak and act and be heard. Lord, have mercy. Mighty and caring God, you promised that one day swords will be beaten into plowshares. Meet us in our distress and bring peace upon this troubled land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. And we pray for Lash, definitely. And Lord, we do pray for Lash. We thank you for that community. We thank you for the love that is shared amongst our brothers and sisters there. And we pray your blessings and protection, and especially your provision at this time for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Summer and team, music.
Just on that note, just thinking of the family and the funeral this morning, if we can keep the path clear as we come and go from church, that would be really good, because at some point they'll need to, do the procession up from the marae and up the path from our gate to the Urupa gate, to the cemetery gate. So just keep that way clear. Is that all right? Thanks.
Yeah, a little bit of patience. If it happens just as we're going out, we just have to be patient and just wait. Yeah. Let's stand and sing, "Come to the Altar."
I loved Miriam's description of the communion table today, and I just want to reiterate on, as Miriam was saying, all are welcome today, wherever you've come from and whatever's been going on in your life, you're welcome at this table.